So a couple of months ago, PBS ran this documentary on the life and the career of Roy Orbison. I'm sure some of you, or a lot of you, know who he was. He was a singer, songwriter, I guess in the late 60s, and really more the early 60s. He had kind of an amazing voice, like this almost operatic voice. They called him the Caruso of rock. And he had a couple of big hits in the early 60s, you know, Pretty Woman, Only the Lonely, Crying. They all happened, and a couple of others, but they all happened in like 4 or 5 years. So he had sort of like a short-lived, intense success. And I never really knew much, to be honest, really cared too much about him, about Roy Orbison. But I knew this. I knew that he influenced big time a lot of musicians and bands that I love. Springsteen loved him, Tom Petty, U2, Billy Joel, the Beatles loved him. They all loved him, and I loved them. So for that reason, I said, let me check this guy out. It had just come on, this documentary, so I had nothing to, I watched it. And I'm glad I did. It was really very good. He was more than very good. I saw what they saw and what these people I love loved. I didn't know really anything, I guess, about his life. And it was kind of a tough life. And this was played out in this documentary. Tragic in a lot of ways. His wife, I think he had 4 kids. His wife was killed in a motorcycle accident in 1966. 3 years after that, 2 of his 4 kids were killed in a house fire. His house burned down. He was on tour, and he wasn't there. And then he died suddenly of a heart attack at 52. The documentary also talked a lot about kind of like the collapse of his career. He had, like I said, those big hits in the early 60s, and then like nothing, to the point where he couldn't get anybody to sign him to a record. The 70s were a terrible time for him. He was the opening act for a lot of big acts. And then he had this resurgence in the 1980s. If you remember, he joined this group. They were called the Traveling Wilburys. And it was one of these like super groups. Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, George Harrison. They were all formed this band. So they had success then and there. But it was all those famous artists that loved him in the 80s kind of resurrected his career. Everybody wanted to play with him. Everybody wanted to record with him. So in the final chapter of his life, he really was kind of vindicated. His final album, it came out after he died. He had finished recording it, but it hadn't yet been out. And it's a great album. It's called Mystery Girl. Anyway, in this documentary, Bono from U2 was being interviewed. He loved him, huge fan. And Bono describes being on tour in the late 80s. And one night, he was in England, one night he has a dream, Bono does, and he hears this song in this dream. And it's a song he's never heard. So he gets up and he guess he goes to the piano and he starts to play it out from memory, from remembering the dream. And he begins to like put notes down, and he almost like took notes so he'd remember this dream song. The next day he plays it and he sings it to the rest of U2. And it was kind of primitive, it was only a couple of hours old. And he said it reminded him of a Roy Orbison song. And they all agreed. So much so that he was thinking, did I steal this kind of without even knowing it? So he went through a lot of Roy Orbison songs. And he was like, no, he didn't. He knew he didn't. But it sounded like a Roy Orbison song from the 60s. That night, this is sort of the night after the dream, they have a concert in London. And Roy Orbison was at it with his two other kids who were U2 fans. And Roy Orbison wasn't even, he didn't really know a whole lot about U2. But he really did like the show, and he went backstage to meet the band. And the band was kind of in awe of him. And then Roy Orbison says to Bono, I'm working on an album and I'm looking for another song or two. Do you have anything for me? Bono said he was speechless. He said this was like insane, that this is the timing of this. And he goes, yeah, I think I have a song for you. And it's on this final album, this final great album, which became the best-selling album of Roy Orbison's career. It's called, well, the album's called Mystery Girl. The song is called She's a Mystery to Me. It's vintage Roy Orbison. He sounds great. He's hitting these high notes. You know, the documentary was very interesting. It kept kind of telling his story, his life, his career, through this lens of success, failure, and then like triumph. We'd say life, death, and resurrection. Like almost this like roller coaster of experiences and emotions. You have the best, and then you have the worst. And then you have something that's better than the best. I mean, in a lot of ways, isn't that kind of life? Isn't that, in a lot of ways, the way things play out? We have great moments, we have dark moments, but then we transcend the dark moments. Hey, it's absolutely what Jesus believed. Look at this gospel this morning. This group of Greeks, they've heard about Jesus. They wanna meet him. It's like backstage after the concert. They wanna come up and meet him. So they go to Philip. Philip goes to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go to Jesus and say, hey, these people want to meet you. Now think or remember this. This is all happening like Jesus' clock is ticking. He knows it's not going to be long now before Good Friday. He knows it's coming. I mean, if you knew that, if you knew like your days were numbered and there weren't a lot of numbers left, what would you say? What would be on your mind? Like all the important stuff would rise to the top, right? The nonsense would be, forget it, waste of time. So what would like the essential stuff be? If you knew you didn't have a lot of time left and somebody wanted to come to you to meet you and to hear from you, what would you say? What would matter most? Well, we hear what mattered to Jesus. This is what he says. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. That's what he says. A thousand things he could have said. And these are more or less his final words, like his summary argument. The wheat has to die. In order for there to be fruit, there's got to be some falling. And there's got to be some death in the course of life. That's what he wanted them to know and them to hear. And we're them. So that's very important. This, the wheat's got to die. The wheat has to die in order for something great and better to happen. Like, how true is that in the course of our lives? In order to rise, you've got to fall sometimes, or we'll never know what it means to rise. You know, if you were in a gym, you were working out, a secular version of what he's saying is no pain, no gain, right? If you want to gain in life, man, you have got to be willing to embrace some pain, or you'll never know the glory, the triumph, the victory. You know, I was telling a buddy of mine about this Roy Orbison documentary, and he's a big music guy, and I knew he would know about Roy Orbison, and he did, so we were talking about it, and then he said to me, have you ever heard Roy Orbison's version of Danny Boy? And I was like, no, I mean, no way. And he said, check it out. It's amazing. And I did. And it is, like he, you know, Danny Boy, where you have to, you know, it's a tough song to sing, those high notes, he crushes it. And I listened to it, it's interesting, the song begins with this additional verse. The song has two verses. This is like one that I had never heard, and he begins the song with this verse. It's interesting, he's in this couple of sentences, he references the song. Some of the images that we hear in the song that we know, there's like this preliminary thing. Talks about flowers dying and the white snow in the valley. Danny Boy has returned. He's come home. This is it. I'm going to sing this in my Roy Orbison voice. Is that okay? Listen to what he says. The valley is hushed. The flowers are all dying. The meadow is white with winter snow. Lord, as I stand at the place where Daddy is lying, I say a silent prayer, and somehow I know he hears me there. Though soft, I tread above him. So now he sleeps in peace, because his Danny Boy has come home. And then he begins to sing the song, which is a song about departure, leaving, and the heartache of that, loss. I think it's why the song like tears people's hearts out. I mean, it's a beautiful melody, but it's the words that are just, It's what Jesus is talking about. I mean, look at the final words of the song that we know. For you shall bend and tell me that you love me, and I shall sleep in peace until you come to me. Like, it ends with hope. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies, it remains wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Success, failure, triumph, life, death, resurrection. So when a parent desperately tries to shield their kid from pain, necessary pain, life pain, they shouldn't. I mean, we all know why there's the desire to do that, protect and shield, intercept, covering for my kid from some disappointment, from some hurt, from some loss. And it kills you that it's killing them. So the desire is so great to just shield them. It makes teachers crazy. It makes their lives so difficult. Let them fail when they failed. Don't call failure success when it's failure. I'm not saying encourage failure, I'm just saying acknowledge it when it's before us. And then challenge them for triumph. Let them know death so that they can discover resurrection. Let them fall so that they can rise. Hey, this isn't just a parent-kid thing. We do it for everybody. Everybody we love. Who wants to see the people you love suffer? But go back to the words that Jesus, like, this is what he said when these people wanted to come see him. Like, suffering is part of the equation. 2 weeks from today, man, the church is going to be, well, the church is pretty darn crowded now, which is awesome. It'll be even more crowded 2 weeks from today. And everybody's going to be celebrating. But before we get to 2 weeks from today, Easter Sunday, we got next Sunday, where we hear the passion and we hear the hard stuff, the pain stuff. And then we got Good Friday before we get to Easter Sunday. There's no Easter Sunday if we try to dodge Good Friday. And I'm not saying go searching for Good Friday. It'll find us. It always does. But when it does, pick up its cross so that we make it to the triumph. Look at those final words. Those final words say it. And I shall sleep in peace until you come to me. Well, he has. And he does. And he will.